For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included on the print version are omitted from this audio version. The Baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the experience of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, coming into a sanctified person's life to endue that one with power for God's service. The word baptize means to be immersed, to be totally covered, and can be understood by looking at the physical act of water baptism. When an individual is baptized in water after he has been saved, he goes down into the water and the water completely covers him. He is immersed. When one receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he is totally immersed and covered and filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself used the word baptism in connection with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He explained to his disciples that just as John had baptized with water, they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The word baptize gave his followers an idea of what they were to expect, that they would be immersed in the Holy Ghost. In order to be filled with the Holy Ghost, a person first must be justified by faith. Scripture is clear that the Holy Spirit is not given to the unconverted. When the multitude asked the disciples following Pentecost, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's response was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2:37-38. A second prerequisite for receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is sanctification, which occurs when the saved person goes deeper in consecration, setting himself apart unto God, and God purges his heart from the inherited nature of sin. The clean, sanctified individual is then prepared to receive the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was typified in the Old Testament. For example, the three areas of the tabernacle were a picture of the three experiences. The brazen altar in the outer court, where the trespass offering was killed, was a type of justification. The blood of the sin offering was taken into the holy place, and perfect communion with God was established, a type of sanctification. The Shekinah glory dwelt in the Holy of Holies, and likewise the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in sanctified believers when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Another portrayal of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is seen at the dedication of Solomon's temple, where the power of the Holy Spirit fell so mightily that the priests could not minister because of the glory of the Lord. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost was foretold by the Old Testament prophet Joel. Some 800 years before Christ, he wrote of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Joel may not have fully understood the prophecy that he gave, but his words were spoken by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and later were quoted by Peter in reference to the Pentecost outpouring. Before Jesus' crucifixion, he promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, telling his disciples, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." He went on to say, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he instructed his disciples to wait for the promise of the Father, promising them that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Following Christ's ascension, a group of 120 people gathered in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem in obedience to Jesus' command. The 120 were saved individuals who had been with Christ when he went up into the clouds and were obviously committed to following his instructions since they continued in prayer and supplication. Jesus had prayed for them to be sanctified and to experience the unity he shared with the Father, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Before the Spirit fell upon them, we find that they were all in the upper room with one accord in one place, which is evidence that Jesus' prayer for them had been answered and they had been sanctified. 50 days after Jesus' crucifixion and 10 days after his ascension, the power of God descended upon those sanctified believers in the upper room, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:1-4 records the event. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. God made his presence known to this group of believers in an outstanding way in this initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Spirit was accompanied by two manifestations, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and the appearance of cloven tongues like as of fire. John the Baptist had foretold one who would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and the two physical evidences were a graphic portrayal of the coming of the Spirit. Those who had been filled began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. People from faraway countries who were in the city for the day of Pentecost recognized their own native tongues and were amazed to hear their believers speaking in these languages they had never learned. Seeing their astonishment, Peter stood and declared that this was what had been prophesied by the prophet Joel. The Holy Ghost had descended upon the disciples in Jerusalem. Peter's sermon that day resulted in the salvation of 3,000 souls. When the disciples received the infilling of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, they immediately began to teach that it was the gift of power which every true believer should seek and receive, preaching that the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In the years following the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost continued to be poured out upon believers. Scripture records some of those instances. For example, about 8 years after the initial outpouring in the upper room, the Spirit was poured out upon Gentiles in the household of Cornelius. Those who accompanied the Apostle Peter to Cornelius' house immediately recognized that the believers gathered there had received the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. In Acts 19:6, we read of the Holy Ghost falling upon a group of believers at Ephesus, and when that occurred, they spake with tongues and prophesied. All received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. This outpouring occurred about 19 years after the initial outpouring. Speaking in a previously unlearned language is still the initial evidence of the empowering of the Holy Spirit today. As at Pentecost and in other scriptural accounts, the speaking in other tongues which accompanies the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not gibberish or unintelligible mutterings, but distinguishable language. It is not a special unknown prayer language. The outpourings that empowered Jesus' followers in the New Testament times was the early rain prophesied by Joel. The prophet also foretold that there would be a latter rain when God would again pour the Holy Spirit upon all nationalities. This was to take place in the time of the end, shortly before the coming of the Lord. In periods prior to the 20th century, God poured out his Spirit on individuals here and there. However, those were only sprinklings of the latter rain prophesied in Scripture. In April of 1906, the latter rain began to fall in Los Angeles, California, and miraculously spread around the world in a very short time. The same evidence of speaking in tongues accompanied the experience as at the descent of the early rain. Counsel for ministers. As time goes by, words of a language sometimes assume new meanings or connotations. In the past, the word experimental was sometimes used when referring to salvation, sanctification, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to indicate that these were definite experiences with God. However, in current usage, the word experimental indicates an attempt to find out whether or not an action will be effective, with an implication of tentativeness. Thus, the word experiential currently would more accurately portray the definite nature of the three foundational experiences. Some religious organizations insist that if any of the physical manifestations of the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost are to be considered necessary today, all of them must be considered necessary. By that argument, seeking to prove that it is not necessary for one who receives a baptism to speak in an unknown tongue. They point out that one of the signs given on the day of Pentecost was the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. While that sound may not be as apparent to the natural ear now, we have often sensed by our spiritual natures that same movement of the Spirit of God coming into the midst of a tarrying group to fill and empower someone for service. In the original outpouring, there appeared cloven tongues like as of fire which sat upon each of them. The visible flames were not mentioned in subsequent New Testament outpourings, but the work of the Holy Spirit and the evidences in the life of the recipient are the same now as they were back then.